Good morning, beautiful people. That's not flattery, you know. That's how God sees you. Okay, and that's what I'm looking out on this morning. Okay, yeah. It's good to be with you this morning. And Lee asked me to speak on disciples who make disciples. And he gave me the verse, Matthew 6, verse 10. And here, Jesus is teaching us to pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Praying for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. Now, that's a wonderful thing to pray. Well, what is this kingdom? The kingdom of God is a people. That's you and me as Jesus reigns in our hearts. The kingdom of God is a place where men are ruled, not by sin, not by their own self-sovereign hearts, not by Satan, but hearts ruled by the King of Kings. And Jesus spoke more about the kingdom than anything else. His kingdom invading this fallen, broken world, starting with the coming of Christ. And this kingdom has been advancing and taking territory ever since and will go on advancing until Jesus returns. And we are part of that advancement, little old you and me, taking ground for the King of Kings. Doing battle with the spiritual forces of evil. And what excitement to know that we're on the victory side. One day our celebrations will be unlimited. Praise God. So here's the challenge. As Christians, we're in God's kingdom to invade and colonize this world. Jesus says in John 18, verse 36, that his kingdom is not of this world. In other words, its ways are not native to our fallen world. We're firstly to pray for it to come, and secondly, to get to work by faith as warriors for Jesus. And we're in a battle for the very souls of men and women. And our stated goal is from Jesus himself to go and make disciples. To go where? Aintree, Liverpool, Merseyside, or wherever we are called to go. Lives need to be reclaimed for the Lord. He is our lead and the power. Our part is to go. We appear to be disciples who make disciples. And this is how the kingdom advances. I have to say, I absolutely love this church. It's just great to be part of it. There are so many stars in this church, you know, in the leadership team, the ministry team, the children's work, the cafe team, knit and natter small groups, wherever you look. There are stars. Can you just put up the next slide, please? You know, in heaven, there will be those who shine like stars forever. This was revealed to Daniel in his vision, Daniel 12, verse 3. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. That's amazing. We can all shine in heaven forever and ever. And people say, you hear it often, well, you can't take anything to heaven with you. Well, actually, you can. You can take those you've led to righteousness. And the question is, and I ask myself this, how many will you take? How many will I take? Will it be one? Will it be five? Will it be 10? Will it be 50? Will it be 100? Our task, you and me, is sharing good news, leading folk to righteousness, to make disciples. And sharing the good news began right at Jesus' birth, starting with the lowly shepherds, Luke 2:17. When they had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all were amazed. And it was the constant call of Jesus to spread the word and go and make disciples. He called first his disciples to be fishers of men. He told parables of sowing seed, that is, spreading the word of God. He challenged us to be workers in the harvest field. He tells us there are many people out there to be brought in and to be cared for. And most importantly, he gave his final instructions to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I have commanded you. This is his great commission. This is his command for you and me. A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus. And we are called to go and make other followers, and this is how the kingdom grows. Could we have the next slide, please? As Max Lucado said, in our faith, we follow in someone's footsteps. In our faith, we leave footprints to guide others. This is the principle of discipleship. And here's a critical thing to remember. In the Bible, there's lots of very clear teaching on eternal judgment. Nothing is more important or urgent than giving a person the opportunity to follow Jesus. Now, many will refer to this as evangelism, but in reality, it's more biblical to call this discipleship. Jesus didn't call us to evangelize the lost. He called us to go and make disciples. The language of Jesus and the Bible is much deeper and more substantial than a singular focus on conversion or a one-off presentation of information. And this is where the church in recent years has failed spectacularly in making disciples who make other disciples. In the main, in UK, Satan has put the church to sleep, and we need to wake up. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that brilliant author and pastor of Westminster Chapel, said, "Not to realize you're in a conflict means one thing only, that you're hopelessly defeated, and so knocked out, as it were, that you do not even know it. You're defeated by the very devil himself. Anyone who is not aware of a fight and a conflict in a spiritual sense is in a drugged and hazardous condition." Now, these are strong, strong words. Are we asleep to the very command of Jesus? Do we say, "Oh, that's just for someone else"? In a way, you know, it's hard to believe that someone is truly Christ-like if he or she does not seek and save the lost. This was the very purpose why Jesus came, Luke 19:10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Jesus was sent by the Father into the world for the redemption of people, the forgiveness of sin through the cross. He in turn sent his disciples to take the message of the cross and resurrection to the world. And his last words were very clear with the commandment to go and make disciples. Can we truly be like Christ, who made disciples such a high priority, and personally not make disciples ourselves. We believe Jesus was telling the truth when he said hell was a real place and many people are going there. Have a look at Matthew 7:13 and Luke 8:11-14. And this is the most urgent issue for Christians in the universe. Our hearts should break for those who are disconnected from Jesus. We should do everything we can to help as many as we can to see the goodness of God and the light of the gospel, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4-6. And I must say, this has hit me quite hard over the last couple of years, coming into my 50th year as a Christian. I will now try and tell as many as I can and disciple who I can. Not that I succeed, but I suppose it must be the urgency of age and grey hair. Please don't be as slow as me and wait so long. And here's a word of personal testimony. One really important thing to remember: our family should be our first area of discipleship. The Bible clearly tells us that we have to tell our children and family and keep telling them. We should always be sharing about the goodness of God in our families. Somehow the topic should always enter the conversation. A word of testimony to the glory of God, maybe even to those who don't want to hear it. And here's a testimony of God's goodness in our family recently. And actually, you've been part of it through your prayers. I think I've told the first chapter of the story. Remember little Joshua? Could we have the next slide, please? He's our miracle baby nephew. Before conception, our niece had 4 sessions of IVF, then a very troubled pregnancy, and was told that the baby might not go full term or maybe born deformed. We prayed, and we asked you all to pray. And what an answer. Joshua was born after an urgent ambulance drive to the hospital. Tom, his father, followed the ambulance. Arriving at the delivery room, he saw what he thought was a wet rag. Didn't breathe, no breath, no life for a whole 12 minutes. They usually stop resuscitating after 5. On leaving hospital, the midwife said to Faye, she was amazed she was going home with a baby. They expected all sorts of problems due to early lack of oxygen. They named him Joshua without knowing it means our God saves. Well, here's the next chapter of the story. A month ago, we were at the dedication of Joshua and Luke. Joshua is now a toddler, 18 months old, as lively as a cricket and chattering away. The whole family have decided to attend a local church, a New Frontiers, lively church, lots of children. They've dedicated their 2 children to God, and Tom is now on an Alpha course. Isn't God amazing? They're firmly on the discipleship pathway. God is good. We're trying to persuade them to put this answer to prayer in the eternal wall of answered prayer. Here's a picture of it. Next slide, please. This is my civil engineering part of the talk, by the way. What a structure. It's called an eternal loop, and the arch will rise and twist 50 metres into the air. The continuous nature of this loop represents how God is always listening and always answering prayer. It will be made up of 1 million bricks, and each brick represents an answer to prayer. 1 million answers to prayer. And it's being built at the junction of M6, it'd be nice if it was near the M62 actually. It's being built at the junction of the M6 and M42, and 500,000 cars will pass by every week, and it will be seen from a distance of 8 miles. Imagine that, right at the heart of the nation. What a vision. What a testimony to our amazing God. Perhaps if you've got an answer to prayer, why not put a brick in the wall? Just have a look at the website. Fern Tom's brick in the wall about Joshua would just be a great testimony to our family of the love of God. Now, I know it's difficult and hard to see family away from God. You know, it pains me enormously that my brother passed away 2 weeks ago. And his last words to me on the subject of salvation, this was at Christmas, was, "Not yet, maybe later." He was 78 years old and died of a heart attack. Who knows if he cried out to God? We'll only find out in eternity. But 78 years old, not yet, maybe later. Please don't forget, time spent with God in prayer is vital, and time spent fasting is equally vital. Right at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, which is the greatest teaching ever given, Jesus said these words: "When you pray, do it in secret, and you will receive your reward." And he said, "When you fast, do it so that it's not obvious, and then your Father will reward you." He didn't say if you pray and if you fast. And over the years, it's really struck me that those who see much fruit in their lives are deadly, deadly serious about time spent in prayer and time spent fasting. This kingdom that we've been talking about grows every time someone turns to Jesus and every time someone turns back to Jesus. And we've been thinking about the prodigals. You know, we're in a spiritual battle here to win them back. And many who have backslidden or turned away from Jesus are often held captive by the spirit of this age. And that has to be broken. And in Mark 9:29, Jesus said to his disciples, "Certain things can only be dealt with through prayer and fasting." We're battling here for the souls of those we love. Next slide, please. Now, here's a bit about the how. The early church were really, really good at making disciples who then made disciples. They carried the mission of Jesus forward to see the gospel spread right across the known world. And we get some clues as to how they did it. Acts 2, 42-47. Acts 4, 32-35. If we read in Romans 15, verse 14 onwards to verse 23, it shows us how good they were at it. The whole of Asia Minor had been reached, and Paul said, "There is no more place for me to work in these regions." Now, that wasn't because Paul had preached everywhere. He couldn't possibly have done that. But it was because believers gossiped the gospel in a pagan world which is just like ours. They were ordinary followers of Jesus who listened to the apostles' teaching and then talked to people who were unbelievers. That is, having spiritual conversations, testifying to what they'd heard and experienced for themselves, and being witnesses, which is what we are called to be. They met in small groups together in homes. They broke bread. They shared meals together, sharing everything they had, and prayed together. And their new faith was viewed as a belief for everyone. Everyone was to be reached. Making disciples is the work of the whole church. We all have our part to play. It's firstly the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the gospel, and it's the work of each one of us. Next slide, please. And here are a few building blocks. First of all, be intentional about fulfilling Jesus' command to go and make disciples. It's for everyone. We're all in this battle to colonize planet Earth with the kingdom of God. Be intentional about having spiritual conversations, sharing testimony of your own story of the goodness of God. Just think for a moment. How many spiritual conversations do I have in one day, one week, one month? This really is the measure that we should be using. You know, it's a lie of Satan that people are not interested about spiritual things and talking about faith. We know some aren't, but the majority will enter into a chat about faith if we're bold enough to raise it. Then who knows what the Holy Spirit can do? Ask yourself, who can I journey with? Who can I disciple? Maybe identify two or three people. Focus on the few that God gives you. If you have no one, then be intentional and go find someone who doesn't know Jesus. Fast and pray to break down spiritual barriers that Satan has erected. And get those you are reaching and discipling into God's word. Lots of tools available here for us. And this is not as difficult as you think. I personally love Discovery Bible Study. Letting people discover for themselves what God's word says and challenging folk to put it into practice. Simply put, it's reading a passage, retelling the story, and asking four simple questions. What does the passage say about God or Jesus? What does it say about the people in the story? What does it say to you? And if you believe it, what are you going to do about it? And finally, who are you going to tell? The great thing about this is the curriculum is the Bible, the teacher is the Holy Spirit. What could be more simple? And the beauty is that anyone can lead, and you can do it anywhere. Here's a testimony from someone in one of our Discover groups. Taking part in Discover Bible Study has really made me see and understand God's word in a different light. Being part of a small friendly group in which you get to know one another and share each other's joys and troubles makes for a trusting environment. It's where you can explore and grow in your faith And this gives you confidence to talk to other people about God and the Bible. The method used in Discover Bible Study is simple but impactful, one which is easy to remember and apply. The idea that any one of us can go out and start a group to feed the spiritual hunger that we all know is out there is surely what salvation and God's grace is all about. Give it a go. That's a word of testimony. And these groups are springing up all over the place. It actually originated through Ian and Sarah Coleman. It's called the Discover Network, and it can even be put on your phone as an app. Come and have a chat if you want to know more. Finally, we should expect those we disciple to disciple others. Final bit, folks. I have to say, a talk like this can be difficult because it can all send us on a guilt trip and feeling totally inadequate. Look, everyone is on the discipleship pathway. We all have more to learn. We have the Holy Spirit who empowers us and walks with us. And it starts with a simple, I'll be intentional about this. Tomorrow is a new day, a day full of hope if we love the Lord. And God just wants to bless our socks off. And the greatest blessing is to see someone come into the kingdom of God and to move on with him. God has given us seed to sow. We really need to get sowing. The greatest day in the history of mankind is coming, when Jesus will return. I wonder, are you excited about it? Do you look forward to it? Every eye will see him, every knee will bow. How incredibly amazing this will be. Until that time, we are to take Jesus at his words and go and make disciples. It's actually a pretty good thing to do, you know, to take Jesus at his word. Living a holy life, pointing people to Jesus and journeying with them. You know, we hasten his return when we do that. Be intentional about having those spiritual conversations. I don't know about you, but I want to shine like a star in heaven. If we're wise, if we want to experience the full capacity of what God intends for us, help turn people to righteousness. Turn them to face Jesus, and you will shine forever and ever. Amen. May God be praised.